old technology meets new technology. Now, you can dial ACB Radio. Call 231-460-1047. 231-460-1047. Always bringing you new innovations, this is acbradio.org. Call 231-460-1047. 231-460-1047.
Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McKellen. Before we get into today's guest, this is Speaking Out for the Blind's 50th episode. Yay! I want to thank all of the listeners for tuning into the show each week and being inspired to enhance their lives. And I encourage everyone to keep listening to the show for more exciting guests in the years to come. Now on to today's guest. Today's guest is Debbie Hazelton. Debbie is not your average ACB member. According to her website, Debbie says that her mission is, quote, to see and help others see in new ways, to inspire, to live on purpose with passion. And so it is, end quote. Debbie follows this mission by playing her various roles as a state-licensed mental health counselor, licensed massage therapist, ordained minister, author, and radio host. Debbie joins me by phone to talk about these roles and how having retinopathy of prematurity has not stopped her from playing them. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Thank you, Brian. Hi, it's great to be here.
It's great having you here, too. Before we talk about your roles, Debbie, let me ask you about your life. You did an interview with the Delivering Access podcast on Fedora Outlier's website. That's FedoraOutlier.com. For our listeners, Fedora Outlier, they're an accessible technology training firm. In that interview, you said that you were born 3 months premature with retinopathy of prematurity. What is retinopathy of prematurity, and how has the disease affected your vision?
Well, that has gotten to be the name of it. When I was growing up, I was told it was shortened as RLF, which is retrolentofibroplasia, retrolentofibroplasia, I believe. And it really has to do with being born premature and then them giving too much oxygen, but I think they got tired of being sued, so they decided to say that we had the disease already by calling it retinopathy of prematurity. But basically, it meant that I was in an isolette for 3 months. I had 1 in 1,000 chances of living 12 hours at the time that I was born, and the oxygen was given to keep me alive, and it was too much, so it burned blood vessels and disconnected the optic nerve from the brain. It meant that I grew up with light perception. I came home from the hospital at 3 months of age, just barely at that point weighing 5 pounds, and I had light perception until I was 19. At that point, my eyes had deteriorated, and I had them removed and have been wearing prosthetics ever since.
You love school a lot. You even started loving Braille, too. You started reading it, in fact, when you were in kindergarten.
Yeah, I was. I cannot say that I loved school. I was not an easy student. I was a good student when I wanted to be, but I was a rebellious, very wandering mind, chatty. I felt like a lot of schoolwork was meaningless, but I loved Braille when I was first introduced to it. Became kind of a sloppy student for a while, but I remember in high school I had a teacher that asked me to read out loud, and I stammered and read very poorly. And somewhere that bothered me enough that every chance I got, even when by myself, to read out loud, I started doing that. And I'm a very good Braille reader now. I can read out loud as fast as any sighted person can read print. You know, I can read very well. And I love Braille. I mean, I just am so thankful. And if I have any regret, it's that I didn't always keep Braille right up front, because I think that knowing how things are written, knowing things how things are spelled, knowing how things are punctuated and formatted, and all of that is just huge in literacy. There are lots of good readers out there who have read a lot auditorially, but to me, it's not the same, and I'm real grateful to have done a lot with Braille.
I was looking on your website, www.debbiehazleton.com. You have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in psychology. You also have an education specialist degree in counselor education. How did you earn these degrees, and how did your post-secondary education help you play all these special roles?
I got them the way other people get their degrees, by doing my work and interacting with teachers and students and learning a lot. And I always, from when I got to college, I took a couple years off before I went to college. And by the time I went, I was there because I really wanted to be, and I made it my journey. And I was fascinated with personal growth, and still am, and a lot about relationships and people and all kinds of things along those lines.
Let's talk about your jobs as the mental health counselor and the licensed massage therapist. Let's talk about the massage therapist job first. How do you give massages as a blind person?
I think lots of people close their eyes to massage. I don't think you have to see to give massage. I do think that it's important to tell a client which way to be on the table, so that and to properly drape a person, so that when I, you know, walk into the room, I know where their head is and where their feet are, and so, you know, I know where I'm going to start. But other than that, I don't think you have to see to give a massage. It might be important to know whether the lights are on or off, and to work with that, you know, as far as making sure there is lighting and that there is not invasive lighting. And then to know what someone is doing, or what someone is in reference to, if they're showing something, or you know, I mean, if they're pointing to a part of their body, you know, maybe asking for more clear information about what they're saying and that kind of thing.
Let's talk about your role as a mental health counselor. What sort of life issues do you help your clients cope with, and what sort of advice do you give them that maybe even our listeners can follow?
Well, I don't think it's just about giving advice. I think a lot of it is about rapport building, listening, helping people know that they're not alone. I think sometimes people are so afraid that other people haven't gone through the same sorts of things, or that they're not a good person because they've had this or that happen, or they made this or that mistake. So I think a big part of it is helping people know, you know what, no matter what, your life does make sense, and there are good reasons that you did or did not do certain things, and to help people feel better about who they are in that regard, and then to look at, well, what is it that you're wanting, and how can we make some of that happen? Like, you know, maybe we can't make it so that you can go out and drive the car, but maybe we can help you find other ways to get some of the same sense of freedom that you're wanting in your life.
As you mentioned, you're an ordained minister. You officiate weddings. That's one of the things you do. There's even a picture of you officiating a wedding on your website. How do you officiate weddings?
Well, it's often about finding out what the couple wants, what kind of a wedding they want, because I really believe in being more of an interfaith minister. So listening, is this a holy matrimony? is this a Christian based? Is this an interfaith based wedding? Is this you know, what kinds of things do they want said or read? And then I just make sure I have whatever it is I need to read, and that we all know what, who's doing what. And then just do it. it's a wonderful thing. I love it. And I've also done, baptisms and, memorials spoken in, church services, quite a bit, and enjoy it a lot, and done a lot of spiritual counseling.
You're also Reiki Master, R-E-I-K-I, Master. The International Center for Reiki Training says that Reiki is a Japanese technique where you get to relax and reduce your stress, and it even promotes healing. How did you become a master of this technique, and how does it work?
Okay, it is Reiki.
Reiki.
And, again, it's something that I studied. Somebody showed me, various hand positions and what to feel. And they also went through some initiations with me. And basically I was actually doing healing before I learned Reiki. And I think that healing energy is available to all of us. But that Reiki is just a wonderful system for experiencing it and for doing it. And it's a nice way of having the interest and the energy work with people in common. It's nice to be in a Reiki circle. And what happens is someone is on a table or in a chair, and one or more persons are standing around them or near them and putting hands either on the body or above the body. Many cases, I think, Reiki is even more intense when the energy is above the body, when the hands are above the body. If you ever were to rub your hands together and then move them apart, you might start to feel kind of a ball of energy or feel heat between your hands. And it can be an interesting experiment to move your hands further from each other and see how far you can still feel that energy. Well, that's what you can also feel if you were to put your hands out from your heart and just continue to move them away from your heart and see if you can feel that heat or that presence of that touch or that feeling that isn't coming through hands on but hands above the body. Well, Reiki is a way of just really transferring that energy, and it's believed that as we bring lots of energy, as we put our hands in that way, on or above someone's body, that we're transferring energy, which will allow them to have whatever energy is not needed, allow that energy to move out, and then brings in new energy that can help to heal. And healing really isn't only about cure, it's often about balance.
I was looking at Amazon.com and your website, and I noticed that you're the author of two books. They're called, the first one is called, The Courage to See, Daily Affirmations for Healing the Shame. And the second book is called, Solving the Self-Esteem Puzzle, A Guide for Moving from Peace to Peace. The first piece is spelled P-I-E-C-E, and the second piece is spelled P-E-A-C-E. And where they can buy them?
Well, they're no longer in print unless you can find you. Sometimes people have gone to Amazon and found them. Sometimes through used bookstores. Sometimes people have had them and have been selling them through Amazon. I have heard of this. Learning Ally did put them both onto tape, and NLS did put the Self-Esteem Puzzle book into Braille and on Talking Book. the courage to see, and it was daily affirmations for healing the shame within. That is a daily affirmations book with something to read for each day of the year. Each page has an affirmation, a reflection, and a meditation, and they're just short little something to read each day. And then the self-esteem book is a workbook that helps people to just work through lots of different areas of life to find answers, your own answers, each one's own answers to questions about self.
Also, I hear you got a third book coming out very soon. Tell me about that.
Well, I won't give the title at this point, but yes, I am sure. I'm saying 2014 is the year, and it's coming together, and it's kind of a compilation of the first two. I mean, the self-esteem book was really more questions. This will be more like essays, longer on different topics than in the first book, and certainly to cover a wider variety of topics. But another something that people can read to gain insight, to find a way of making sense out of experiences and going forward, maybe a way of improving relationships. But lots of insights that come to me that I just feel are important to share to help people feel better. My tagline says, helping people feel better one person at a time. So that's really what I'm committed to, even in writing.
You're also a radio host right here on ACB Radio. You host three shows. One of them's called The Good Energy Mix. Another is called In the Quiet. And another is just called The Debbie Hazelton Show. Tell me about your shows. What are they about? And how might our listeners listen to each show?
Well, The Good Energy Mix has actually been here for 7 years now. And it is on Monday on Interactive at 11 a.m. That's acbradio.org/interactive. It's upbeat. It's inspirational wherever I can make it so. And my goal is to help people start out the week on a positive note and feel good. And there's usually some silliness and laughter and lots of fun, lots of good music. Tuesday night In the Quiet is on at 7 p.m. And that is also on, that is a more of a meditative, introspective. It's quiet music aimed to help people go within and to find maybe a greater sense of peace and resilience and to make of it whatever they choose to make of having that quiet time. Both of these shows are on other stations as well. And so I'm real proud of that. And
how about the Debbie Hazelton Show?
Oh, the Debbie Hazelton Show. I took a break from that for a while, but it's coming back. And it's coming back the first Wednesday in February. It will be on, it will have new content the first Wednesday of each month, and it will replay the every other week, like the third Wednesday of the month. It will replay that episode and then be new again the first Wednesday of the following month. So it will be at 9 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday on ACB Radio Mainstream. And it will be an hour show as it was before. It will have interviews and it will sometimes have portions from my podcast. It will be a compilation of a number of things, as it was before, but all new.
You got a podcast feed. It's called From Within to Between. It's a podcast that covers the topics of sexuality, disability, and even authenticity. Tell me more about this podcast.
Well, this podcast is one that I've felt strongly about for quite a while, and It's actually just about to come back, and it's not just on, not just for people with disabilities, but it will have a lot about disability, because I think that often disability issues are left out and people with disabilities are often left out. And I, not everyone agrees with me, but I think in terms of sexuality and relationships for people with disabilities, there's just lots of information that is not out there and neat and is not discussed. And so that is where I feel very strongly on bringing this. And it will also be available through DebbieHazleton.com. And it will be restarting again. And also another podcast feed called Heart Connections, which will be more for my, all of my holistic kinds of interests, the body, mind, spirit kinds of things, will go under that banner.
How did you decide to get involved with ACB Radio?
Well, I was doing radio, back in the, late 80s and early 90s. I was, doing features through WNN Radio, the motivation station, and it was a was an AM station, and I was writing and recording features that were on they were syndicated on 9 different stations, and at one point they aired 6 times a day, and I just knew I loved it. I knew I loved radio, and so I always intended to come back. And the easiest way was internet radio. And I was, before ACB Radio, I was doing a show Monday nights on CTI Radio, which is no longer active, but I was in my rather broken computer at that point. And by the time I moved to Orlando, where I was a roommate with Larry Turnbull, I was there because I was going back to school. And Larry got to know my computer, and there was one problem after another, which necessitated him, building me a new computer. But at that point, I had actually started on ACB Radio. I had been involved in ACB Radio probably for, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe about 6 or 8 months or so, but, and, you know, as I, you know, living in a radio household with somebody who's very much involved in ACB and ACB Radio, well, I just kept getting more involved. And so, it's been, quite a journey.
How can our listeners, we know where they can find your current shows, but where can they find, follow, or locate your podcast?
Well, if they go to DebbieHazleton.com, they'll find things there. And also, I have an announce list. And if anyone wants, I always publish when there's something new, whether it's a new episode or a new newsletter or an upcoming show. I publish things to my announce list. And anyone can get on that list by sending a blank email to announce-subscribe@DebbieHazleton.com.
Okay. How can our listeners get involved with ACB Radio if they want to and produce their own shows?
I would suggest contacting Larry Turnbull. And Larry is the managing director for ACB Radio, and also the, I believe he is the server administrator for ACB as well. And they can write to Larry@acbradio.org, and he is always glad to know about people and to help them through the process to get on the air. Always looking for new content. I still believe there are many people out there that are capable that just aren't sure how to begin. And Larry is just really great at helping, as you know, helping people get on the air and get involved. And I think it's a really great opportunity.
If our listeners want to be the next you, the next Debbie Hazleton, what should they do?
Well, I don't think anybody should be the next me. I think everybody needs to be the best who they are. I've seen people audition for different contests and, you know, like different singing. And like, I've heard way too many people try to sound like Whitney Houston, and I don't want anybody to be the next me. But, I would say, if you want to take some of the things that, are of great value to me and, make them work for you, I would say, you know, really listen to yourself and listen to your heart and know what you really want, and then find the people that are going to help support you in building and becoming more of that. And, be kind as much as possible, because boy, oh boy, my mother did teach me a lot about being kind. And am I ever glad that she did? Because the older I get, I think, the more kind I, hopefully become, and the more of a priority that is. I would say, laugh a lot and, do what you can to find the joy and share the joy and make it joy that isn't about one-upping or being caustic to others, but joy where other people can get in on it and have a good time with it as well.
Anything else you'd like to add really quickly?
Thank you so much. And, I use Twitter a lot, and I use Facebook, but I would definitely say, if you haven't gotten into Twitter, oh boy, it is a great thing, and I would definitely encourage it. And on Twitter, I'm at Debbie Hazelton, and would love to see you there.
Debbie, we wish you continued success. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go, let me give listeners a couple of quick reminders. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode or past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind, or follow me on Twitter at Speaking Out Blind. My guest for an upcoming show will be Maria Federici Doyle. Maria will join me to talk about her life as a blind bartender and successful book author. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.